love and make me more like thee. Is that your desire this morning? Oh, make me more like thee. Jesus, make me more like thee. And give me a heart that's filled with your love. Oh, and make me more like thee. Let's all stand as Brother Terrence comes. Oh, make me more like thee, my Jesus. Make me more like thee, and give me a heart that's filled with your love, and make me more like thee.
Amen. Good morning. Let's see one with us this morning. Maybe some traveling around. Be with them. Got a few requests. Little Ellie, Hope's babies. Joyce and them's taking her to the doctor's. Fears she may have an ear infection, so remember little Ellie this morning. You know how that goes on the ears, and they don't much like the ears, and I know that's a painful thing, so just remember that. Also remember Brother Gary Krantz's family. As everyone knows, his mom passed away, so make sure that we just remember his family in prayer. Little David back there, excuse me, is sick also, so remember him also this morning. And also remember the Fall Festival coming up October the 26th, starting at 1 o'clock at the Gillsville Park. We'll make that announcement every service. The only ones I have, I know we all have unspoken requests this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for letting us come out this morning, Lord. Lord, be with the ones that may be traveling on the highways, being here or traveling, Lord. Just be with them and guide them and direct them. Lord, remember, excuse me, remember the sick. Remember little Ellie there, Lord, and little David, and Lord, remember Brother Gary Krantz and the family, loss of his mom, Lord. Just bless them this morning also. Be with the services, be with the Sunday school classes. Bless Dad this morning. Lord, bless us that we all have the right attitude to listen to what's being said. Forgive us of all of our sins. We love you for you. Many blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You be seated.
Holy. I believe, yes, Lord, I believe that all things are possible. Oh, Lord, I believe, Lord, I believe, Lord, I believe. That all things are possible. Lord, I believe. Emmanuel. Oh, Emmanuel. His name is called. Praising this morning. Oh, Emmanuel, Emmanuel, his name is called Emmanuel. He's God with us. His name is called Emmanuel. Amen. Brother John, would you come this morning and lift up the tithes and offering?
To bless this day, Lord. Bless the singing, the worship, Lord. And certainly bless your word, Lord. Use our brother in a mighty way this day, Lord. May it just be a vessel, Lord God. Yield it to you to speak to every heart, Lord. May we be alert and attentive, Lord, to receive what you have for us today. Lord, we ask your blessing on the tithe and the offerings that come. Lord, may it just be used for your honor and your glory, Lord. Bless all that you give, Lord, those who can, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Meet every need, Lord. In this day, in this service, in this time.
Amen. Let's turn to page 53 in the Spiral Songbook if you have it close to you, near you. Amen. How many of you are looking for that sweet by and by? Amen. Gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Oh, there's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar. Of rest, oh, in the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore, in the sweet by and by. Shall meet on that beautiful shore, and to our bountiful Father above, we will offer our tribute and praise for the glorious gift of His love. How great is that love? And the blessings that hallow our days. Oh, in the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. Sweet
beautiful shore. Sing that last verse again. Oh, to our bountiful Father above, we will offer our tribute of praise for the glorious gift of His love and the blessings that hallows our days. Oh, in the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. I am blessed. This morning, oh, I am blessed. Yes, I am blessed. Every day that I live, oh, I am blessed. And when I wake up in the morning, and when I lay my head to rest, I am blessed. Oh, I am blessed. Oh, sing it from your heart. Oh, I am blessed. Oh, I am blessed. Yes, every day that I live, oh, I'm so blessed. For when I wake up in the morning, and when I lay my head to rest, I am blessed. Oh, I am blessed. Amen. You blessed this morning? Praise the Lord. I tell you, I think the greatest blessing is to walk in the truth of the hour. I remember Brother Branham, he was talking and quoting the Psalms, and the inspiration of the Lord come, and he said, blessed is he who believes he's come in this message that we have received for our age. Amen. Let's all stand, and we're going to ask, do you have a scripture this morning you want to read? Okay, we'll ask Brother Colley to come forward and do a responsive Bible reading, and as we sing this once more to him. Oh, I am blessed. Oh, I am blessed. Oh, every day that I live, I am blessed. When I wake up in the morning, and when I lay my head to rest, I am blessed.
Blessing to be in the house of the Lord again. Blessing to be among the saints, those who lack precious faith. So, let's ask God to bless us this morning. We're going to read from Psalm 57, 1 through 11. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are ever grateful and thankful for your kindness and your mercy unto us. And for all things that we do, Lord, we know it's through you, and it'll be a blessing to us. Lord, we pray that you will just bless each of us and bless us all together. Father, let us pray one for another, whatever we do, just pray and ask you to lead and to guide us. We ask you to bless those in the Sunday school classes, those in Sunday school, bless each one. Father, we continue to pray that they will receive this strong foundation. Father, as time grows near for some, Lord, there must be some to carry on. We ask that you prepare them to do those things. We ask you to bless Brother Dale this morning and touch him in a special way. Father, that which you have given him to bring forth unto us, let us be blessed by it. And let's all pray together in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 57. Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee, yea, in the shadows of thy wings. And I will make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed.
I will cry unto God most high, unto God that performeth all things for me.
He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that will swallow me up. Yea, God shall send forth his mercy and his truth.
My soul is among the lions, and I lie even among the dead as a fire. Even the sons of men, which teach the first years of inheritance, and their times
of short sins. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let the glory be above all the earth.
They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have digged a pit for me. In the deepness, they are rolling themselves out.
My heart is fixed, O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise.
Wake up, my glory. Awake, sultry and heart.
I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations.
For thy mercy is greater than the heavens, and thy truth unto the heights.
Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let the glory be on all the earth. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated.
You love the scripture when you can see it just fulfilled in your own age. Amen. For the mercy and great unto the heavens and thy truth unto the clouds. We've had a cloud of witness. Amen. That picture right there, he's come and vindicated. Now, this is the truth of the hour. Amen. Let's turn to page 204 in the Spiral Songbook. Day thou be, but what a day this is. Amen. You're living in the day of the Lord. He's here to reveal himself to you. Oh, there's coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, and no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, a glorious day that will be. Takes me back. by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, a glorious day that will be. Oh, there'll be no sorrow there. Again, oh, there is coming a day when no heartache shall come. Oh, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye, and all is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. Oh, what a day, a glorious day that will be. Looking forward to that. Oh, what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. And when I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace, in your tears. Sorrows, and there'll be no sorrow there, and no more burden to bear, no more sickness, no pain, no more parting over there, and forever I will be with the one who died for me. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Oh, hallelujah to the Lamb that was slain upon the tree. Oh, by his stripes we are healed. You and sealed you by His Spirit. You just claim it and confess it. Let's turn to page 388 and sing this as the classes come up from the Sunday school. Are you free this morning? He has set us free by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. He can deliver you from all things. Once like a bird in prison I dwell, no freedom from my sorrow I felt. Then Jesus came and listened to me. Glory to God, He set me free. Says, I am now climbing higher each day. Amen. That's where we're climbing up to that perfect image in Christ. We can't do it ourselves. We just keep eating. Keep eating on the Son of Man. Amen. Those virtues will come. Let's change the order of the service this morning as our brother comes. You happy in the Lord this morning? Amen. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, I want to see You. Oh, I want to see You. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord.
Yes, open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up. Oh, you're shining in the light of your glory. So pour out your power and love as we sing.
Around. You might find him. Right? Amen. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. If you'd like to turn in your scriptures, turn to 2 Peter 1, where we've been reading, and just we keep going on in the word of the hour, trying to find our way through. All right. Remember, now this afternoon, what we're going to do, we're going to start about 5 minutes early for this, you know, something like that. Get started a little bit early. All right, because what a lot of us is going to the viewing. Okay, to the Krantz family. Brother Gary's mom passing away. They're going to have the viewing, and it'll be from 5 to 8, and it's going to take us a couple of hours or hour and a half or something to get there. So we're going to try to start a little early, all right? So then setting a schedule, we'll be getting started 5 minutes early and then only sing about 10 or 15 minutes and try to get into the service and get on out. All right. So everybody got it? Where we can get on to the viewing, which will be this afternoon. And then the funeral will be, tomorrow at, I believe it says 1 o'clock. Right. So remember these and just be much in prayer for the family and all that the Lord would be with each one. And the loss of the loved one. Amen. 2 Peter, okay? Other announcements, we'll make them later as we go along. And all, because, let's see, I just wrote something down, but I can't even read my own writing. Amen. But just, we'll be much in prayer for the Krantz family, all right? Father, we thank you for your grace and your love to each and every one of us. And thank you that you are a comfort in the time when we need you and the family there, the Brother Curious family of the Lord losing of the mother, and we know that's a great anchor for the whole family, and we just ask you to be with each and every one and be a comfort unto them. Let your light shine into each heart and love. Father, remember the sick among us. You promised us that you'd send your word and heal us and deliver us from destruction. So we thank you, and we just ask you to help each and every one. Lead us now as we try to minister your word. You just come and speak to our hearts. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we'll go to 2 Peter. This is Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Right? Like precious faith. Now, if you got the born again part into your soul today, you are of like precious faith. All right. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of what? The divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. We had a real good time yesterday at the, if you will, just pray for Brother Homer. He's having a lot of problems and things, you know, sicknesses up and down. They can't get him straight on a lot of things. So remember that and keep him in your prayers. But we had a good time, good fellowship over and back. And we got there and you know, the sisters, they got up. We had Sister Trudy and Sister Anna and Sister Nyla got up to sing, and they set the place on fire. So everything was going pretty good. And all at once, it just started like an old Pentecostal meeting. There was a lot of shouting going on and dancing around and everything. And, you know, we was doing pretty good. But, you know, we just had a good time doing it in the Lord. And you'd never guess who was the last one dancing. So you'd never guess that. So, all right. Just kind of got, and you know, all in ourselves and had a good time fellowshipping. All right. Amen. All right. Now we're talking about the stature of a perfect man. Trying to understand what is expected of us in this generation or day. All right. Now we're not concerned with what other ages are. We're concerned with this age. So that's what I want you to think on. Is that, to me, you can say, well, this age is this and this age is that. I'm wanting us to talk about the alive word that is in the age that we're in now. The alive word right now. What was past is past. What's future is future. But the prophet said that was our biggest mistake that we made. We either go backward or we go forward, and we fail to see what's taking place right now. Well, I just don't see much going on. Well, then, you know what's wrong? You. You say, oh, we're just dead apart, Lula. That means you're dead. You know, because you ain't going to say they're dead up there, are you? You're going to say we dead. But you're going to say it like we dead. But what you mean is everybody's dead but me, and I'm trying to tell you how dead all of y'all are. But just remember the word we's means we. Yeah, okay. But now talking about the stature of a perfect man, because to me that is one of the most gracious, wonderful, what else could you call it, to have an experience to be able to understand the Bible and to walk in the light of the hour that we're living. And to see the prophet came to bring us these things and to bring into manifestation in our hearts and lives. And as we'll read in a minute, these are the things the prophet said God expects us to add. Well, see, then if he expects us, I remember Richard when he came down from Tennessee years ago, and you know, he said, I was in this series or type in it, and he said, well, I didn't know these things was expected of us. Well, what do you think it's in there for? I mean, if it ain't expected, tear it out. A man telling me one time that the gifts and things ought to be stuck out. I said, give me your Bible. You know, I mean, I'd have just ripped it out. I would, you know, because if it's not there, what do we need it for? You know, it's just space, you know. But I see in this day that the biggest thing that we, us, me too, is that we're not thinking about what's taking place. We're looking back and we're looking forward. We're not following what's taking place. Well, when are we going to get to that position to think on these things? All right. Now, the prophet said it, as I said, we'll read it in a minute. He said, these are the things that God expects us to add. Well, I can't do nothing. Well, you know, maybe we need to listen, because I think we've had long enough to play around of 50 years since the leaving of the prophet. Right? I think it's time to be serious about where we're at and what we're doing, because things are getting bad everywhere else. And, you know, so then let's consider that. All right. But now think about it. Our last message, we were talking about the one thing that I believe holds a great key is to where that it is a reading there in the scripture in verse 5. It says, add to your faith. Now, it doesn't say add faith. It says add to your faith. Then it says add virtue. All right. Now, what was the emphasis? Faith is not a virtue in that respect. It is a gift, or the gift. It is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The prophet said, have faith and be born again. He said, these are the things that, you know, that God expects of us. First, he said, have faith and be born again. All right? See, then faith is not a virtue or something. It is not even added. He said, well, it is. He added it. Yeah, he gave us his life. All right? He gave us eternal life. That's the faith that it's talking about. All right? And that faith then becomes a part of us. It's a part of his life given to us to make us sons and daughters of a living God. All right? See, then it becomes my faith because he gave it to me. Right? He gave us the new birth. Then we ought to rejoice about what he has given us. All right? But then think about it. See, it's not a, faith is not an ad, it's a foundation. The prophet covered, we gave it over and over and over, where he says, the foundation of all Christianity is based upon faith in the Word of God. All right. So then you'd say, well, what's it all to do? All right. Upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So then the church is built upon faith. Faith. You know. Well, then get faith and really in what it is. It is the new birth. Have faith and be born again. It's the new birth. Well, I don't understand what you mean by that. I tried to emphasize it real good the last service. They're talking about that we look at faith as being something that we can't attain. See, we put something way up ahead. Well, we look at the pyramid, you know, and we say, well, I don't know. I may be down in here now, but I just don't see I'm up in here. Well, that may be true. But it's there for us. All right? And the prophet said, these are the things that he expects you to add. He said, well, I can't add nothing. No, but we can make ourselves available. Christianity is not something you can work up, you know, or do. But you have to make yourself available. That's the main point. If we won't do that, then God can't help us anyway. All right? Make ourselves available. Make ourselves open. Study the Word. See? Read the Bible and do. Brother was preaching last night on cell phones and how to do it. And I marked down a little thing on mine because he says that they're medically saying now that there's a little knot on the back of the head of people that's coming up right here on the back. You know why? cell phone. People are doing down so much to do. Now this, he was serious. He wasn't kidding. He was giving the medical thing. And I didn't realize, maybe I missed a point, but he said it was like 78% of the American people have cell phones. I believe that's about what he was saying. Let me give a number, it's like 300,000 Americans, you know. Out of that, 250,000 or more has got cell phones. See, and that's, you know, that was his point to express what we're doing. And he said that they've medically said people are bending over. You know, you've had so much trouble. You've seen it with computers, with women typists and things that have problems because they're bent over and everything. Well, he said they've been in. Well, that's doing pretty good, ain't it? So what's taking over? What's taking over in our lives? Yeah. Well, phones taking over. Well, we have, yeah. We have phones. They're good. They got a reason, a purpose for being here. And they're good. You know, that's fine. But now when you can't even carry on a conversation because of people, you know, and that don't think you're fooling me. I know a lot of you are sitting there now looking over. Oh, you got the phone hidden. And you're sitting there. You know. Okay. Then we expect the stature of a perfect man to be built in us. If we were studying my point, if we were studying the message like we have everything else, I think it would help us, don't you? I mean, ain't that serious enough? That if we were putting our hearts and our minds to studying the message and letting our children study it from that. But Brother Dutch was talking about a 3-year-old with a cell phone, you know. I mean, you got kids now, they can do it. You know, I mean, Lily can do better on her cell phone than I can. She's over there with a little old finger going and getting these things and she'll pick up this and she'll, and I can't do it. No, you can't. That's good. No, you can't. So I use mine for what it's to be used for. Okay. Not telling you to throw it in a trash can. Mine got thrown in the lake. But, you know, listen, church. My whole point is, what is the thoughts in our mind of the day and the hour that we're living? Should it not be that our whole thoughts should be based upon Christianity? Our goal should be to know the Word of God, to study the Word of God, right? That should be our whole goal, because that, now we'll get to that in a minute, because you asked me, say, well, how do you get these virtues? It's going to have to come from the Word. All right, so we'll get to that point in a minute. But what I want you to think about now is hold that point. Have faith and be born again. All right? Then these are the things that God expects us to add. Well, it's expected. You say, yeah, but I can't add it. But you can make yourself available to the Word of God. Now, it's like I said, I don't want to raise a hand, but how many has read Stature of Perfect Man since I asked you to read it or listen to the tape? Well, my kids, they just don't do that. Pop that rear end until it goes sit down over there and listen to a tape. And it'll change things. Right? Okay. But now listen. Faith is not a virtue. It is the foundation that everything is based on. Upon this rock I'll build my church. Amen. It's built upon the revelation of the Word of God. Amen. What was the prophet to do? I thought that the purpose of the sending of the prophet was for us to receive the Word back in the original form that it was in the book of Acts and the things, you know, or the writing of the Bible and things, the faith of the fathers. But you don't hear anything about the faith of the fathers. No, we're beyond that. Well, how'd you get there? Question. Oh, we're way up here. How did you get there? Well, you know, I'm up here at the top, which is love. How did you get there? Well, I got love. Filio or agapo?
Yeah, come on.
Yeah. Make it yours, which one you think you got. All right, but think about what we're saying now. A house is held up by the foundation. All right? It is not suspended out in midair, held up by a skyhook. You ever heard those statements, you know? A lot of people, you know, we used to say it, and they say, well, how that? Just put you a skyhook out there, you know. Just hang it up in the sky. Well, now, you know I ain't got much sense to think that that would work. See, because that won't hold it up. All right. But now, see, the foundation of all Christianity is based upon the revelation, faith, because faith is a revelation, right? All of Christianity is based upon the revelation of God's Word. But yet we know more about all the other things than we know about God's Word. Right? You know, we read everything else, but we don't know. You can tell how much this is and how much that is and what percentage this is and what that is and all the things, all the different things. In God. And you say, well, what about this in the Bible? Well, we're beyond that. Well, all I've asked a question, how'd you get there? I mean, if you have reached, I'm serious now. Women, come on, everybody in the building, I'm serious. If you know how to get to, I've been told, said, well, people at Lula don't believe like I believe. I believe this, and but everybody don't believe like I believe. Well, that may be true. But is it true or what? But I'm open and I'll pay you. Okay? Women, men and all. We don't believe in women preachers. But we're going to make an exception. If you know how to get to the stature of a perfect man. All right? Wade's off this afternoon. He's supposed to be preaching, but he just got took out of the way for you. Now, if you know how, and I mean it seriously. Right. If you know how to get to the stature of a perfect man, we need for you to preach to us or teach to us. Right. And we'll make an exception. We'll let you women stand out front. Yeah. And you can tell us all about how to get there. Because I want to get to there. Amen. If these are the things God expects.
Amen.
Right? Yes, but they don't want to listen to me. You don't want to listen because you don't have nothing. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid about what I believe and what I say. And I'm not as scared to say it. And to tell you like it is. Because that's where I stand. All right? But now listen. If God expects us to add these things, then there's one thing for certain. If he expects it, he has already made a way, right, for us to receive it, or he wouldn't expect it. So he sent the prophet, right? Well, we need to know about this. We know, but I ain't got time to read the prophet's message, you know. He sent the prophet in vain if he's not willing to back up what he said. And waiting to back it up. So whose problem has it been for 50 years? Us. And that us means starting me here through you. All right? Because we know everything else, but we don't know about the message. All right? Now listen. Add to your foundation. Okay? You build a house, or for the Tony, different ones that are carpenters, you know, and most of us are a little bit in that line of mind. And we know, as I said, we don't hang them out on a skyhook. We build a foundation. But make your foundation, the Bible says, sure.
Amen.
All right? Now, you're going to build a 10-story building. And you go out there and you just clear it off and you just start laying your blocks. Well, that won't do in a house, let alone a 10-story building. You know, something's going to cave in a hurry, right? You got to get that footing right. That foundation. All right? And I'm like this. I'm bigger is better, I guess you call it. If, to me, you're going to pour 6 inches of concrete, well, why not pour 8 inches? Well, the permits is, and they're only required. We ain't talking about requirements of what the law or what this land says or whatever. I'm talking about Christianity. If we're going to work for 10%, why not work for 100%? In Christianity. Because you're going to see in a minute when we get down to the point of thinking about it, because there's some words Brother Branham used that has to be brought, and I was going to bring some of that today, but I'm laying the background for it. I know where the prophet will make a statement, but you got to place that statement in the correct order.
Amen.
Now, like he says about virtue, for instance. He said, now, that doesn't mean live a virgin life. Well, is it okay not to live a... I mean, is he meaning it's okay to not live a virgin life? No, he's meaning that's supposed to be settled in your faith.
Amen. Right?
Yeah. Right? It's not a question of whether or not you're supposed to live a virgin life. That's not a question. That's not a thought.
Amen.
If you're going to be a Christian, you're supposed to be a Christian. Well, I don't know whether I should cut my hair or where I should do this or what. You know, I don't know. If I do, they're going to, if I don't, they're going to, Like I've said, we talk about things that Brother Branham brought when he didn't have to bring them.
That's right.
The Bible already said it.
That's right. Amen.
Huh? The Bible already told you not to cut your hair,
right.
Not to paint your face.
Yep.
The Bible says that. When are we going to just read it? You realize what you're doing? You realize by not accepting what the Word of God says, now God had to send a prophet. Are you with me? Because the people wouldn't do it, so he sent a prophet to do it. Why did he send a prophet to America? Oh, yeah, we're good. I've heard this one, haven't you? God sent it to America because we got the money to send it to the world. Boy, you're carnal. What kind of a spirituality do you think that is? Think of some little bitty thing. Jamaica's, I'm not throwing off on them, just illustrating. It's 150 something miles long, about 50 miles wide. Got what, a couple of, I forgot how many million people.
Yeah.
1 million people. God could send this message or this Bible or this things to the world from Jamaica.
But no.
He sent it to America because, he sent it to America because we're the ones that are the worst.
Right.
Why does a prophet come? He don't come because of money. He don't need money. He come because this land was the worst garbage can that there is in the world. This America that we call. Right? Because we think we're so spiritual. You know that a prophet is a condemnation to a nation? You don't read them, do you? No, it's sent to a nation. It's got a compound meaning. It's sent to the nation to save it, yes, but to condemn it also.
Amen.
Yeah. Well, what's that? I'm just laying a point for you to think about. Because we take something and we'll read it and we use it instead of understanding and letting it enhance us. We use it for corrective forms. I might not know what that. That's just my mind, all right? We use it to correct with instead of using it to develop from. You say something about virtue. Well, Brother Brown said, that's not living a virgin life. Well, is it okay to live like the devil? Is that what you're saying? Are you saying that he's saying it's okay to go ahead and do these other things? Because this over here is not what it's meaning. He's just illustrating the one natural thing. See? Because that virtue, I'll get this part and then I'll back up to the next service. Have you ever looked up to see what virtue means? I mean, have you ever just looked up to see what virtue means? Amen. According to Webster, virtue is moral excellence. Goodness. Righteousness. Go on. Conformity in life and conduct to moral and, however how you say, ethical, however you pronounce that word, principles. A good or admirable quality, as like of a person or a thing or whatever. Well, now, Brother Dale, virtue means strength. Now, did that woman draw virtue from Jesus? Did she look at him and say, boy, look at them muscles. Man, I bet he could pick up 200 pounds. Strength. Well, we've got a good spiritual thing going today, haven't we? We didn't know it meant like that. What about that? It just means strength. The life that Jesus lived before that woman was where she got that strength from to believe. We'll get back to those things. I just want you to think on it. Because what I want you to think on is we take something of what we want it to be. We make it the things we want it to be. And then somebody says something. Quick as they say it, we just, boy, we're quick. Boy, he don't know what he's talking about. Virtue. Virtue is strength. We know where that's at in the book. It don't need to be in the book. It need to be in the hearts and the lives of the people. A living Bible instead of the letters on a page. Right? See, it's taking upon us. Now watch the definition. We'll get back to that definition later and we'll cover it. All right. Because it's not to just say, well, it's not a virgin. Well, the prophet said it's okay to do all these. He didn't say that. He was emphasizing the way that the word is used in that definition or that point. Right? So we'll get back to those things. But see, look, it's supposed to be taking upon ourselves the divine nature of God. Now, there is the only strength or our virtue that is worth anything is the divine nature of Almighty God. All right? Nature or virtue. The divine nature or the divine, virtue. The things of God. He expects us to add these things. Yeah, but we can't do it. They ain't nobody said anything about what we can do and don't do. But if we won't make ourselves available, he can't do it. He can't save you if you don't want to be saved. Well, now he can. Boy, he done it to Paul. No. Don't go those routes. He can't save you if you don't want to be saved. The prophet said he can't override your free moral agency. All right. Now, he expects us to have these virtues, so it must be that he has provided a way. And he did, which is the prophet's message. Right? The Word of God. See? So that others can see His nature in us. That's what the strength from virtue you'll find to be more and more, is that you can look at something or somebody. He said, how would it be if you're out here telling somebody that you're a Christian, he said, and drunk the next day? He said, there ain't no virtue to that. This is partaking of His divine nature, but letting that nature live outwardly, you know, into our hearts and lives. All right? See, it's His nature. The prophet said to be like Jesus was the greatest song he'd ever heard. Well, what was he wanting to be like Jesus? Oh, he went out and raised the dead, healed the sick. Is that all you can see of the life of Jesus? He said, yeah, but he was God. He was tempted in more than you and I could ever think about being tempted. So don't set him aside and try to make it to be something that he wasn't tempted. No, he was tempted worse than we are. That's what we should consider. Okay, now listen. So do you see what I'm talking and driving? Add to your faith. All right? God gave you the new birth. Right? All right. He gave it to you. It belongs to you. Okay? Now, He ain't going to take it back. Right? He's not an ending giver, so He's not going to take that back from you. It belongs to you. Then if He says, now add virtue, strength, and, you know, whatever we want to make them, He's got to make a way. And He did. By giving us the Word. Amen. But you see, instead of us trying to take it and study of the things it's saying, we're trying to make it something that it's not. Mm-hmm. See, the new birth is the nature of Almighty God. Which I believe, and it's the way I've always tried to teach it to you, because that's the way I believe it. I believe the new birth is the birth of the Word. Now, if you can express anything else that the new birth to be than the birth of the Word, I'd like to know about it. And I'll give you the pulpit. You can have it to explain it. But you see, the birth of the Word is to bring the very nature. Remember what Jesus said to Nicodemus? He said, you must be born again. The original says you must be born from above. In other words, Jesus was telling Nicodemus, if you could ever come to the place to be born from where I come from, then you'll know what I'm talking about. Right? The new birth. See, we are supposed to be partakers of His divine nature, which is the partakers of the Word. Right? See, I can't do anything myself, but I can accept what He's done for me. And then I can try to make myself available. It's not go out and live like the devil and then say, well, I'm a Christian. We were talking about that coming home last night, kind of, you know, in our thoughts a lot of times we get it all messed up. Now listen, if the new birth is the birth of the Word revealed to you are made alive. The disciples took the Word. They held the Word. The Holy Ghost came and quickened the Word, giving them the new birth, right? That's the same thing that happens to you and I. We study the Word of God. We hear the preaching we do. And God comes to us accepting our believing because we've accepted him, then he comes and accepts our believing of him and gives us his own very nature, faith. He don't give you something that is not worth anything. He gives you the very foundation of all Christianity is faith in the Word of God. And then when he gives that to us, then he's expecting us to add these things. Well, how can we add them? All right, the prophet made it. That's the reason I want you to listen to what he's saying. He said you can't vulcanize rubber and metal. See? You can't do like, well, it's all right to do this, all right to do that, because I'm a Christian. I know I'm born again. It don't bother me to drink, smoke, do. No, it don't bother because you're not born again. Well, you're telling me I ain't born again? Yeah. Yeah. Anything else? Does that answer the question? I didn't stumble when I said it. If we live like the devil, who are we? You know, do you think you live a good Christian life? No, sure don't. Because you see, it ain't up to us to live a Christian life. It's up to us to let him come in to us and let him live outwardly. That's his divine nature. That's the Christian life. All right? Then the entire pyramid. Now watch what I'm saying. If the new birth is the foundation of the Word of God, all right, then the entire pyramid would be the birth of the Word. Amen. Is that sensible? Because it's the same material. Right? Now wouldn't it be good, Tony, that we go out and boy, we pour that foundation, we put 12 inches. Well, let's put 14. Let's do this and do that. And then we go down and buy the cheapest 2x4s we can buy to start from there, or some kind of a material that ain't worth nothing. And then we start building a house. Yeah. No? Whatever we put on the second stage to lay on the foundation should be as strong. Well, you know, it's supposed to be 16-inch center, so we'll make it 40-inch center. That won't matter. That won't matter. A little swag and fall down. No, it won't matter. And that's what we do in our Christian life. To letting him do it. How do we add these virtues? By the word that is revealed to us. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved, workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of truth. See, then the word that is revealed to us is the way God brings to us his nature. Because the new birth is a revelation of Jesus Christ, right? All right. What would be the rest of the pyramid? Would be the birth of the word. That's why I love it that way, because you're birthed into this. See, you're birthed into this, you're birthed into this, birthed into this, birthed into this. Well, how many births do we have? I don't know, but I love it in the scripture where there in the book of Acts, they had many feelings of the Holy Ghost. Don't you? They had many feelings. Every time they'd gather, they had many feelings of the Holy Ghost. How many new births do they have? They had one. But what does it matter if we have many births? What's the problem? So I'm birthed into this, birthed into this, birthed into this. The prophet says those things. The opening of the word is the birth. Why is it then the scripture says being born again? See, the studying of God's word will bring the nature of God. Because he can quicken it. But if we don't, now what did the prophet say? Let's see. He said the Holy Ghost is sitting in your soul waiting on you to bring in the word. Now, paraphrasing, I'm hitting it pretty close, but he said, now as quick as you bring it in, said he'll make it alive. Where's he at? See, where's he at? He's inside your soul. That's your faith. That's your foundation. That's where he's living at. He's waiting on you to bring him the word. He's waiting on you to study the word and to get to that. But it's not just head knowledge of how much we can read. Now we'll get to those things. It's the revealed word. You realize then the key to the whole thing is what? You know, I said I'd get around to speaking on it eventually. Because I did. I asked Brother Moore. I said, now, how do we get these virtues? He said, well, I don't rightly know. I said, I don't either. I wasn't throwing off on him or what. But the Lord spoke to me about 1980. And he was showing me the opening of the word through the seals and the different things. And he showed me the key. What is the key to be able to add the virtues? Number one, we know we can't add them. Okay, solve the problem. We through that. Don't think silly. We can't do it. But he can do it. But we got to make ourselves available. Well, I don't need to study that seal book. Prophet, priest, and it'll be that. What does it matter to me? Well, I thought it was the plan of redemption. I mean, I'm sorry, but that's the way I think. I thought the seals was the plan of redemption. I thought the seals revealed things about redemption that were not made known to mankind until the coming of the end time and the prophet coming to bring the word. I mean, if I've missed that, I'm sorry. That's just where I stand, what I've always believed. God had it available. But who could he get to deliver it to you and me? But see, we get hung up in the vessel instead of the delivering. Huh? Instead of believing the word that has been brought, that it will take care of our needs, we get hung up on the vessel it was brought by. And stop with that. Well, you know, I mean, if that's offensive to anybody, I'm sorry, but is it true? Amen. So how do you get anything? All right. Now, Josh, where's he at? He doesn't disappear back there. He doesn't turn into... Yeah, he growed hair on his head. Yeah. Now, anybody, Brother Bob? Now, Brother Bob, he's some way in the computer tech. That's what I tell him around here. We got a whole bunch of computer techs. Now, I don't know what that means. I just heard that word, that they call them computer techs. They're supposed to know something about a computer. All right? Now, Brother Bob, how did you get where you're at and what you're doing? Well, I just got it. I just walked in one day and it just fell. Now, how about it, brother? Long years of studying. Right? Long years of practicing. Long years of failing. Right? When they came up to algebra in our day, I told them, I said, you're wrong. I said, because that don't work. They said, well, algebra, what is that? He said, well, it's a new word. It's a new thing of doing. Well, what do we need that for? Well, it's because we're going to have it one day to go to the moon. Well, I wasn't interested in going to the moon then. I ain't interested in going to the moon now. I want to do what the prophet said. I want to pass the moon, so pass until. All right. They kept telling me, you know, they called it that power square. You know, 3.14, just to show you. I do know a little bit. Okay. It's a little bit over 3.14 dice, so. All right. But see, they called it power square. I told them in. I said, uh-uh. I tried to tell the kids. I said, you go tell that school teacher, that ain't right. Pie's not square, pie's round. Cornbread square. Well, you say you're silly. No, I just illustrating how dumb we all are. Okay? Now, Brother Bob's gonna sit here today, and I'm gonna explain, or Aaron back there, we'll get with him. I'm gonna explain these magic numbers, or whatever you call them. Imaginary numbers. Yeah, we're gonna get us a lesson this afternoon in imaginary numbers. I don't need no lesson in imaginary numbers. I got a problem with the numbers. I don't need no imaginary. And I'm not making a joke, I'm just making an illustration. How do you get where you're at? Well, I just walked in down there and told them I need a job. Yeah. They said, well, what can you do? I don't know, but I need a job. Well, can you count? Well, I can take my shoes off, get that far. Well, we need somebody, you know. I mean, they pay outstanding amounts of money today for people to know how they're taking those numbers and put it together and come out with the right answer.
Right?
Amen. Well, what about in the Christian realm?
Right.
Now, how can we get... Now, Donnie, he's a mechanic. Well, now, Donnie's going to explain to Bob on mechanic, and Bob's going to tell us all about it with a computer. Well, we just get all messed up.
Right?
What is the way? It's to study it. Study it. To be able to say, and you know, ain't it so amazing? And I look at it like this and think about the human mind and how smart we think we are. But you know what? Bob cannot do anything in the computer realm unless he knows 1 + 1
right.
equals 2.
That's right.
Donnie can't fix a car unless he knows 1 + 1 = 2. They used to make so much fun of me because I was in the DOS end of the deal coming up, and I never did care about the windows and all. And I was a DOS man, still do it. But you know what? I didn't know enough sense to know one thing. You know, your windows is sitting over my DOS. My DOS is still controlling. DOS is the first level of mechanical parts, you would call it, of computerism, I guess would be the way to say it. Well, you know, you can't do away with it. You can't do away with it. Because it's the way to get there. How do we get there? By prayer and studying. Is that the way the prophet said that we get the word of God? Prayer and studying. Studying the word of God. Studying the Bible. Study the prophet's message. Right? See, we've got the prophet's message, the word of God, to tell us all things. And the prophet, what did he say? Within these books and tapes lies the change of the body, we call it, just a verbatim of words. And we're going to study Greer's Almanac. We're going to study this. We're going to study that. I ain't got time to read. I ain't got time to study the message. Well, you know what? We're going to get exactly what we're going to do. We're going to still be with the DOS, and everybody else is going to be gone with the Windows. Because it's the same simple thing. That's why I told a man that, you know, brought me into it and everything. The kids tried to get me into the computer point of it. This is the point. But see, I was on the DOS. I could work it and do what I wanted. And the man kept on and he laughed at me, the one that showed me what to do or sold it to me. He said, "You still on that?" I said, "Yep, still on it." He said, "When are you going to get out of them bygone days?" I said, "When you put it to where that I can type in God is good and it immediately appears." I said, "I will go to Windows." He said, "Type it in." Typed it in. It said, "God is good," which I was used to typing it in. "God is good" on my DOS. Go cut the grass, pick the, you know, get the garden and do all the work. And then finally come back in and there it was. It was just a little slow. But you know what? They come to the same place. Right? But when he dropped that in, I said, I'll go home. We're going with the windows. Because, see, I had a reason to know things had speeded up. I was in the computer industry world, but not what I needed to be. See? All right? Now, what's the point? If the new birth is the foundation of all Christianity, and if the new birth is what Jesus said, upon this I'll build my rock, my church upon that rock. If that's true, then we may need to speed up our capacity, but don't forget your foundation. What would happen if windows went flat? You'd go back to DOS. But how many could handle it? No. You'd have to go back and teach the whole thing over again. But see, that's what we're doing with the Word of God. We're not studying the Word of God to try to find. We're trying to find secret things. And to do. And boy, the congregation, boy, they'll be glad to hear this. They've never seen that before. Well, that's not the way that I do. I do to try to get me and you to understand the Word of God. Because I believe the new birth is the birth of the Word. And anything after that will be the birth of the Word. So, all right, what am I doing then? Well, what do you mean? I don't need a new birth. I got a new birth. Well, Brother Dale, trying to get them people up there to get a new birth. Why, we've been born again 40, 50 years. May I quote Paul? Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? Right. Amen. Have you grown up and got out of DOS and got over into Windows? Do you understand where we're at? So God has supplied. Now that's the emphasis I've always tried to make. God gave the prophet the word. That was the purpose. He was to bring the word. That was Malachi 4. That he was to bring those things. Turn the hearts and back and forth. All of that was in the word. But we didn't know it. But one day we learned that. All right. Now it's wonderful to keep on reading the message that 50 years later we're still getting from that message. Revelation. Enjoying reading it. Enjoying studying the message. Enjoy hearing the prophet. Right? See, the way to get the virtues is to do one thing. How did you get to birth? Okay? How did you get to new birth? I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. And then he accepted me and gave me the baptism of the Holy Ghost. All right. He had the Holy Ghost available. All you had to do was accept it. All right? The virtues and things of what we have need of is available. All we need to do is study the prophet's message. And to see that as we do, there's no set channel to be able to say, we need the virtue, so let's channel it this way. Let's do that, and let's do over here. We're gonna jump over here. We don't need to know all this about faith and virtue. Let's jump up here to godliness. I think we'll all be better human beings. Well, great. Great, that's good. We ought to be. But are we gonna forget all the other? You've left your foundation. See, what I'm trying to get you to see is the revealed Word of God is the only thing that could bring you to a birth. The revealed Word of God is the only thing that can bring you up and me up the stature of a perfect man. The prophet brought the Word. We're not looking for some channel or some thought. We have it. It's already there. The prophet's message is there. All right? So let's study that part, because that was what God spoke to me about, is the opening of the Word. I've always loved the Bible. I've always loved the Word of God. But it started opening. Now here's our problem. We need virtue. So let's look up in the Bible every scripture we can find on virtue. There's more scriptures in there other than beside the one Brother Branham used. They're speaking of virtue and strength. Well, let's study these. Let's get somebody to explain all this about how you do this. It's not that. Have you ever been sitting? Seriously, now think. Because I'm trying to explain a very valuable point. Now, I don't mean mind wandering, the word that we're sitting there and we don't know what's going on. And, you know, I look at some of you sometimes and I think, my Lord, you know, you're over here and you're over there, you wonder what is on their mind. But listen. It will do us no good to bring up a reading room situation. Now, you know what I mean by that. Not throwing off on them. That's a Jehovah's Witness point. Reading room. They have a reading room. They go in and read, and they teach them how to talk to you. And what you say, they say something back, and they got all kind of things. All right. Now, it's not training us into those things. It's a yielding of our vessel to God. And what I mean, now you listen to what I mean and what I'm saying. It's not you sitting there that your mind is gone and you're not even thinking about something. And all at once, whammo, here goes something. No, that's not exactly the way it is. It ain't going to work that way. But when you're thinking on the Word of God and somebody's speaking, have you ever done this? You're engulfed in your thinking about the scriptures. You've got something in your mind that you're thinking of. And the minister or somebody talking to us or something says something that goes, you know, just plumb off with this, what you're doing. And then now you've changed from this thought that you're engulfed in to now you're into a different mind, a different thought. What has happened? God is speaking to you. Is that sensible? I'm trying to tell you something if you'll listen. It's not to try to find how many times the word virtue is in the Bible and be able to say it's in there 49 times. It's in. No, that's not what it is. But find out about the life of Jesus Christ. How did he wind up with the strength that the woman could draw from? And how could she see it in him? Well, he was, now here's what we're going to get into. Oh, he lived such a good life. You want to stay the rest of the afternoon? You want to get into where he plaited the ropes together and run them out of the temple? You want to get in where he called them Pharisees, you snakes? And, you know, I mean, come on. He didn't put everything down as a flower bed of ease, a bunch of roses or anything, did he? He didn't sugarcoat everything. He was plain. But from that, what about telling a man like Nicodemus? Said, Nicodemus, you are a teacher. He accredited and gave it to him. But then he said, now you don't even know these things. He wasn't bragging on him too good. He was telling him right where he was at. He was telling him in his trouble that he was dependent on the wrong thing. I'm trying to get this point in and we'll quit. All right, think on it. See, you're sitting, you're listening, you're studying, you're meditating, you're reading, and all at once your mind goes into another thought realm, another pattern. Something is revealed to you, and you say, well, I wasn't even thinking about that. I wasn't even thinking on that form. And see, God is speaking to you. There's where you're getting the things. There's where the opening of the word is coming in at. You remember when the prophet began to talk. Oh, well, how much we remember the days when we first started, you know. And to hear that prophet explaining, said, one God is simple. He said, I'm a father. I'm a human. I'm a being. He said, got many manifestations. But said, there's only one God. And your mind goes through the whole Bible on it. As it begins to open and you see who talked to Abraham. You see who talked to Moses. You see it was the same. I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Knowing that every one of those was a manifestation of God in an hour and a time, but yet every one of them was the same God. See? Through the opening of the Word, He will bring into being the nature that He wants within you and I. Is that simple? To study the Word of God, to listen to tapes, and pray, and ask God to reveal Himself? See, that's the way the virtues will come. The virtues will come because of the revealing of the Word. Now listen, there's where it's going to hurt. Because you're not studying the message. You're studying everything else. Now, am I wrong? See, only through the opening of the Word can we be brought to anything. How do we get the virtues? Well, I just need virtue. I'll just get it. Or I need knowledge. I'll just study the Bible. That's not going to give you knowledge of God or what He's talking about. It's when you come to little situations in there and read what that prophet said. That's what opens it to me. When that prophet said, look at there. He said, Abraham had knowledge. And I thought, Abraham had knowledge. Wait a minute. Abraham wasn't born again. But yet God enjoyed the thought to meditate with Abraham in his thoughts. And that's what I love about it. That Abraham's called a father of faith. Why? Because God could talk to him. Well, how do we get knowledge? How do we get temperance? Well, we just light up and we'll beat the daylights out of everybody until they get to where that they're acting more nicer. That's not going to change nothing. Because that's not what it's talking about. Only through the opening of God's Word can the virtues be brought into being into the hearts and lives of the people. That and only that is the only way it can come. You say, well, what's been wrong? Because we're not reading right. See, we'd rather hear somebody preach some outlandish, off-the-wall doctrinal idea than to sit down and just talk about the Word. Well, I enjoyed that because they got into a big argument. And boy, he was telling him off on this side, and he was on that side. And he was, boy, they were having a big... Well, why don't you go get in the middle of the fight? Because it's what you want. You ain't trying to find the Word of God, lock that away, or reveal. Read the Bible and let it just become part of you. Not because you've read it, but because you can see that it's speaking to you. Come on, the prophet said, virtue. He said, that's not living a virgin life. So he goes over to the strength. Right? Because that's what it is, strength. Well, what is strength? It was the man himself being made manifest. What are these virtues? Christ owned life living in us. Is that it? See, we study the word, which to me now is to be saying the Bible, the prophet's message, because they are the word of God revealed. We have the Bible. We have the prophet's message that tells us the Bible is right, not correcting it, not changing it, but telling us what it's saying, related to our lives now. Right? See, then, by the word of God being revealed, then God can add his nature through the revealing of the word. That's what I'm talking about now. Now give me about 2 minutes and we'll quit. Revealing his nature through the opening of his word. And seeing those individuals in the word. And see how that they were living for God in a time when they did not have the new birth. It was not there. But yet Abraham was a friend of God. Was it Abraham said, I know he'll teach his children. Which one was it? One of them. So I know. I know he'll teach his children. He had confidence. God had confidence in a man. Does he have that in you and I? See, then, it's all the birth of the Word. Okay, now listen. Let's get over onto this part. See, the message the prophet has brought us is the Bible brought into not interpreting it, not changing it, not doing those things, but he's saying it's meaning what it says and says what it means. You know, and it's right. He's bringing us the clarity of the fact of how right it is that we thought we had to interpret it some way to get some mystery out of it. You ever heard preachers? Boy, they try to make something. They're bringing it so great of a mystery. And a lot of them will bring it like this. I got something right here. I'm going to tell you in a while. I'm going to tell you in a while. But they never get over there. I want to go up there and open the book. Say, come on, tell me what you got. Well, are they trying to entertain me or what are they trying to do? All right. So now listen. I'm going to bring this part to a close and then we'll cover the virtues later. See what I'm talking about. Not just to read the Bible, the Word of God, the message, listen to tapes and things. But it's when the Word is revealed or made alive in us, it will bring into our being the divine nature of Almighty God. Only by the revealed Word. Now, why don't you want the seals? Why don't you want Daniel 70 weeks? Could it be that we're turning down the channel?
That's right.
Huh? Could it be today that we're turning down the channel that would come forth? Because, hey, I'm going to read this. I'm going to just make the statement because I got it in here. In Ephesians 4, it talks about the fivefold ministry being for the perfecting of the saints. Brother Branham put it in the message, the stature of a perfect man. To fill him up that I may teach others, apostle, prophet. Now listen, I'm going to make this statement and you ain't going to like it. Now, I can show you where God put that in the word. Now you show me where he took it out. You show me where he took the fivefold ministry out of the word. Well, if it is that the fivefold ministry is for the perfecting of the saints, then could we be turning down the channel that God is using? That's as simple as I'm asking you, and then I'm going to finish with this statement. Okay? Listen. Then the virtues are to be added to your faith, and your faith is the born-again experience. Your born-again experience is the new birth within your soul. You go with me? Your faith, your birth, and all, is to be dealing with the soul. It's not the body and spirit. God uses that and works through it. But it's got to be the soul of the individual. All right? Now then, if he adds the virtues, and he's in there, as I quoted a while ago, as the prophet said, he's in there waiting on you to bring him the word, and said he'll make it alive. All right? To add to your virtues. Why would we be afraid to listen to preachers preach on some doctrinal ideas and things, even if they're just trying to straighten something out? We can learn from that. But listen, it's added to the soul because that's where the new birth starts from. All right, now listen. How did that woman see or know from Jesus that she needed the strength he had? It was not an automatic process. It was over a time element of her watching what he was doing. It may have been, you know, he was right there and he healed a bunch of people and she saw that or whatever it is. You want to put all that together, you do that. I'm just trying to preach. Right. And see, that woman, she saw something. Something that made her think. And she says, that's for me. She's drawn from him. Right? What she needed. See, God adds the word to word until we come out with the nature of Almighty God. Is that the stature of perfect man? Is that? Okay, now listen. Just a simple thought. See, we're born again in the soul. We're not born again in our body and spirit, okay? Now listen for a second, all right? So being born again in our soul, that's where we begin to work from, and that's what all connecting. All right? But your body and spirit is involved in it. Because remember, the only way people can see God is not through your soul, because they can't see your soul. Right? Well, they see the man, no, they see it through your spirit. They see what your spirit is doing. Your spirit is manifesting what's in your soul. Right? And see, that's why we need that spirit to operate from the inside, coming back out. Right? Now listen to what I'm saying. Now get it right. So what is in my soul will come out in my spirit. Because you cannot see my soul other than following it into the spirit realm. And that's where the deception is at. Because people can be Christians in spirit. Now, how are you going to know whether they're Christians in spirit or soul? By the word. Right? Then what did the prophet say? How do you test anybody? He said, give them the word test. Huh? Give them the word test. That's what I'm doing today. I'm giving the word test to every one of us. Let's see if we pass it. Because you see, then I don't have any trouble with, you know, thinking about what we do or don't do. I know preachers, that's their basic doctrines and ideas. If they have to preach on clothes and dress and hair and stuff like that, and maybe I need to preach a whole lot more on that. But if you're a Christian, don't tell me you're going to cut your hair now. Don't tell me you're going to wear pants. Don't tell me, man, you're going to go out and do this or do that. We're done beyond that. Ain't no, don't even talk about that. Don't even mention that stuff to me because it has no sense to it. The Bible tells us not to do things. Why should we worry? Well, I didn't know that till the prophet. See, you didn't go to church where it was taught, right? Okay. But the Bible didn't change. The prophet brought not a great revelation to us about hair and dress and clothes. It was already in the Word. He just emphasized it. He put it to where you had to think about it. He put it to where in saying, if you do these things, you're not a Christian. Now you stop and see, at least you're thinking. Am I a Christian? Do I live like one? Do I act like one? Am I turning down the revealed Word? Am I turning down the revealed Word? Am I rejecting the Word of God because it doesn't fit my idea or thoughts? Come on, musicians. What about it? We have had the most wonderful opportunity. You and I have it. If we have a question, all we got to do is go to the prophet's message. Right? What about the answer to all things? Is laying in the Word of God. Yeah, but we don't want to, not or, see, we're trying to make excuses. Study the Word. You say, how do we get these virtues, Brother Dale? I still ain't got that right. How do we get them? By God revealing His Word. But if we turn down the channel that He sends it by, if we reject the way He sends it, then we're rejecting Him. But see, we don't take it that way. We just take it to what I believe. Well, okay. We've been around here 50 years on what I believe. We need 50 more? Huh? I hope not, because we were laughing about that over there yesterday, about how there's a gap up here. It's like 75 to 80, and then there's a space in between there, and then we drop down to the 50s and the 60s, and then there's space, and then you drop down to the 30s and the 40s, and we got perfectly in line the Bible. We got the old hands that saw Moses. We got the ones that died in the wilderness. We got the young ones to go over. All right? See, we've got it laying out right before us, the very hour that we're living. Think on these things. Well, Brother Dale, what do I need to do to get virtue? Read the Bible. Study the message. How else do you think you're going to get it? We've got it laying in our hands. What do we need? Come on, let's stand. Think on these things before we got over.
Sing that song, He Touched Me. Oh, I was shackled by your
hand. Anybody have a need? Faith.
And need the load of gain.
In the Word of God. Looking for something, looking at what we've got.
Oh, in the hand of Jesus, touch me.
And now
I am no longer the same. Oh, He touched me. Oh, oh, He touched me.
Said he got sick.
And
you know what it is, Satan? The pride.
The joy
trying to make things go
that
right.
Floods my soul.
So we just stand between and say, thank you, Lord Jesus.
Something
Satan threw his hand, but now,
and now
you just turn around.
I know
the hand of Satan is broken.
He touched me and made me
in Jesus'
whole.
Name. Anybody else?
Since I've had this blessed, oh, since He made me whole, oh, I.
all eternity.
I want you to ask him and believe you, Father, that whatever it needs is a finished product. In Jesus' name.
He touched me.
Anybody else?
Something happened, and now I know He touched me and made me whole.
Reach down and touch him.
Oh, yes, He touched me.
He wants you, Dad.
Oh,
to be whole.
He touched
Thank
me.
Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Take the
That floods my soul. For something happened, and now I know He touched me and made me whole.
Our little buddy's asking for his daddy.
Oh, I was shattered.
We just ask you to come on the scene. Take care of all things. In Jesus' name.
Jesus. For to give and share.
Father, we just ask you to be with our little sister, Lord. Touch her. Give her what she's asking
for. And now
we believe in you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Anybody else? Think about it.
Oh, yes, He touched me. Oh, He touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul.
Amen and amen.
Because something.
Thank you, Lord, for this day and your love unto us. And we ask you now that you just go with us as we eat a natural meal. And may we think about the things that we're considering, Lord, on you and what you're trying to do with each and every one of us is just speak to our hearts. And that's what we desire more than anything, Lord, is a constant talking with you. And we ask you to have your way. Bless each one. Remember all the sick ones among us and all the things. We commit it to you now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You're dismissed.
He touched me and made me whole. Oh, now since I've met this blessed Savior.